Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. What a blessing that is. Who are you? What's your last name? Christian. We're all here as Christians. Praise the Lord for that. Verse 16, that he would grant you according... Just stop for a second and just take these next verses in for a moment. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Just think about that value right there. And that's going to show up on your account. To be strengthened with might by a spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. And even in the middle of the book of Ephesians, we see the word amen. Like, just stop there and think about that for a moment. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. God, we're thankful for your grace. We are thankful for the gift of grace. We are thankful for love like we've never seen before. And God, within our hearts, we want to understand it. Help us to be rooted in it. Help us to be grounded in it. Lord, help us to be an encouragement one to another. God, I pray that you'd move me aside, just far aside this morning. And God, that you'd be honored and glorified with the words that are said from your word here today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a powerful passage. As we start in verse 12 and 13, we see that trials in our life, tribulations in our life, are there for a purpose. Say what? Make me miserable? No. So God gets glory. So man is humbled in his heart. Not sure if you're aware of this. If you've traveled at all, there's a common thread through all of mankind, and it's pride. It shows up everywhere. Whether you live in the bush of Africa, you live in the jungles of Brazil, you live in the frozen tundra of Minnesota or Canada. Where's their? Oh, they're in Sunday school. No matter where you're at, what shows up in my life is pride. And God says, I have a way to make you humble. He did it with Paul. He says, I'm going to give you a thorn of flesh. I'm going to give you a grace to get through it. But I'm going to give you a trial just to keep you humble. And that's so true in our life. That's what that passage is talking about. And then he says, but don't worry. Not only am I going to give you a trial that's going to humble you and that I get glory, I'm actually going to give you the strength to get through it. So when people look at you, they say, there's no way that they did that on their own. There must be something more. Praise the Lord for the power of God in our life to know the depth of his love for us. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to know how much he loves us. You know, I say this to my children all the time. I tell them, I said, I love you. He said, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, you have no idea how much I love you. One day, you know, my parents used to tell me that. Now I recognize how much my parents love me because now I have kids. And the closer I get to Christ, the more I understand his love for me. And the power of faith, as we conclude the passage, just talks about what can be accomplished through the power of faith. We know that. We've read Hebrews chapter 11. We see it. We've seen what God has done with simple men and women that just trusted God. Waters stand up on as walls, and people walk on dry ground. They amazing things. The mouths of lions are stopped. I think kingdoms, I think it says, are subdued. Praise the Lord. I want to draw our attention to verse 17 here this morning. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. How does Christ get in my heart? By faith. Isn't that good to know? Hey, if you're here this morning, and again, if you've never received Jesus Christ, we sang about that song, that we're saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. So how'd that happen? Well, Jesus Christ forgave us of our sin. He made atonement for our sin. He paid for our sin with the blood that he shed on the cross. So how do I get that? It's amazing. There's no dollar amount that can buy it. There's no work that you could do to earn it. All you simply do is ask for it. Acknowledging that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and saying, God, I know I've sinned and I know I'm destined for hell. That's what your word says. But I trust you that what you did on the cross was good enough to pay for my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Forgive me. Say, that sounds so easy. A kid could even do that. Exactly. It's just childlike faith. And the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. By faith, that ye, now look at our theme for this year, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. I've done some reading over the last short period of time. Say, that's good. Yes, it is good. And I've read, I didn't read what preachers say about this. I read about, I don't want to use the wrong word here, experts say. I've read a lot about roots. Say, sounds like riveting reading. It was, well, with this in mind, it was. I'll say 2 months ago, if you gave me a 20-page book with descriptions and pictures in it about the roots of trees, I would have said, thank you for the extra kindling. I'll try and get to it later. Just not in my, what I would consider riveting, again, reading. But with this in mind, as I'm studying this stuff and reading about this stuff, you know that no word in our Bible is there by accident. And when he says he wants us rooted, well, roots are fascinating. Say, come on. Do you know that plants and trees can grow, listen now, anywhere. Anywhere. There's they can grow in water. They can grow in soil. They can grow, plants can even grow in air. Say, come on, where's Blake? Is Blake here? Where's Blake? Blake, air plants. Yes? Very good. Blake is a plant expert. Okay, you take a liking to plants. Okay, there you are. But root growth is essentially opportunistic in its timing. It takes place whenever and wherever the environment provides. Now, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to think about roots. Don't get ahead of me. Don't start thinking about, oh, I see how this applies to the church. That's my responsibility in about 5 minutes, all right? So just think about roots, all right? Plants can and trees can grow anywhere. Root growth is opportunistic in its timing. It takes place whenever and wherever the environment provides for it. You've seen it. You go out in the middle of your sidewalk. I remember my dad had a house in the city, and he had a concrete sidewalk, and every so often, my stepmom would go out with a thing of salt, and she's pouring it in between the cracks of concrete. Say, how? Why? Because weeds would come up through concrete. Anybody ever see this? Okay, great. I'm not making this stuff up. The growth of a plant is an integrated phenomenon that depends on proper balance and function of all its parts. I was reading about this, and if you took a tree, well-established tree. We'll say a 50-year-old oak tree. All right, Chester, you get the visualization. All right, oak trees are really neat. Oak trees are really easy to pick out right now. Say why? Because they still have their leaves on them. That's how strong and resilient oak trees are. If you drive down as you're driving home, look in the woods and you'll find oak trees. They'll have like brown leaves on it. All right, they're real strong, real resilient. Anyway, there you have your 50-year-old oak tree. Boom. It's got a very deep root system underneath. Very extensive. We'll talk about that in a minute. But if I went to the right side of the tree and I just dug right down and damaged all the right side of the root system, you know what would happen to the tree? Would the left side of the tree die? Would the right side of the tree die? The entire tree would die because the root system goes back and forth in a zigzag system. Meaning, say, what is that? What does that mean? The root system is connected to the entire being of it. Leaves are connected to the root system. The roots of a tree serve all the branches and all the leaves. That's fascinating to me. That somehow at the very tip, the very last bit of a leaf is somehow connected all the way through this system, God-designed system, through the trunk and goes all the way out. Amazing. Interesting. If you took a seed and you plant it right in the ground, the first thing that will begin to grow is a root. And that first little root, do you know what it's called? You probably don't know what it's called. It's called, does anyone know? It's called a radical. A radical. The first root that comes out of the bottom of the seed in a pine tree, an oak tree, and a walnut tree is called a radical. The root system for a tree is often, now if you can imagine, if you took, here in our mind, we have our 50-year-old oak tree, right? Flourishing, acorns, all that happiness, pretty big, right? If you took the drip line, which is the tree leaves all the way around, and just drew straight down. So we get its perimeter, but transmitted down onto the ground. Say, is that how big the root system is? No, you have to go 4 to 7 times further out than that. Unbelievable. That means what you see on the outside, there's multiple times further extensiveness below. It is not uncommon to find trees with a root system having 2 to 3 times the height of the tree in roots. So imagine your 1,000-foot tree. How about 100 foot? Okay, 100 foot. That's what I meant. I'm remembering my pictures. It was 161 feet is what it was. That would be a really big, the sequoias. Yeah, redwoods. We're going to talk about those in a second anyways. So there you have your 100 foot tree. You got to go 200 to 300 feet out. And that's how big the root system is. Roots grow parallel with the ground. We always think, oh, they just go way down. No, they go parallel. They can actually even grow uphill. So if you have a tree on a slope, they'll go about 3 feet down along the parallel with the ground and 3 feet down from the soil and go up. They go uphill. Many trees, like the redwoods that we just talked about, which are known to have a shallower root system. Have you ever been to California and saw the redwoods? Are they big? They're huge. Kind of like the trees we have here. No. They're enormous. Could you imagine the root system? Well, they have a shallower root system. Say, how does that work? They interlock with one another. Many trees like redwoods, which are known to have a shallower root system, depend on interlocking with one another for strength. Pines do the same thing. Out here, as I head back to our house, they put a beautiful, they right on Drake Road there. They put this they took the farmland and they put this beautiful solar farm in. And oh, it's beautiful on a beautiful Sunday morning. It just catches the sun and the things go like this. But outside to cover it, all the way around, they put a nice chain link fence. It just screams Hamlin. It's just beauty. Outside of that are pine trees. And every pine tree, it goes like this, back and forth. It goes in a diagonal. Why? Because underneath, what's going to happen, because pine trees are, as you know, are evergreen trees, right? And they never lose their needles. They are a parachute of wind, and they just catch all of that. If they don't take off well, if they don't get that root system strengthened, winds will blow them down easily because it's just a trap for the wind, especially out here. If you notice, we have like 4 or 5 pine trees up here, and we planted them or took them and planted them in a diagonal positioning. Why? Because underneath we wanted them to interlock. Roots are amazing. Roots are essential. Roots are necessary for growth. This is where the food, this is where the strength for the plant comes in. The times in which we live. The world and every work of the flesh is pulling at your relationship with Christ and the church. You feel that? You watch the news and everything is contrary to what God says. It's trying to demoralize your faith. The enemy is doing everything it can, listen now, to attack your roots. Listen, I come from a goodly heritage. Say, oh, tell me about your parents. Do you have a kingly line, or do you have a royalty? None of that. I'm talking about my root in Christ. I come from a godly heritage. And what this world is trying to do is it's trying to destroy your roots. Because if it can destroy your roots, it gets you. It'll make you ineffective. You'll topple with every wind, every storm that comes by. The root system is your relationship with and in Christ. And the branches, say, then what are my branches? That is our outreach into the world. That is our touch to the world. And do you understand that our roots and our branches are so deeply connected, you cannot have one with the other. And we wanna reach the world for Christ. Hey, we're taking 5 tracks a week. We're going to talk about that again tonight. Looking forward to hearing some of those testimonies. Maybe last week you were like, I don't know, is he really going to do this? It's kind of scary. I've never done anything like this before. And then maybe you tried it this week. You're at the grocery store and the person was standing there and there you were and they're like, okay, I gave you a receipt, you're all set. And you're like, and your heart's pounding, boom, 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 boom. And the gospel track and your hands are sweaty and you're like, oh, I can't do this. And then you're like, here! And you just throw it at him, boom! And then you run. You're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. And you say, I want to reach the world for Christ. But I got no roots. It's all connected. The branches are reaching to the world, and this is the branches is where we'll see fruit. The root system will be the strength by which we will be able to withstand the storms of life. It will be necessary for you to stand. And as we go back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says that ye, being rooted and grounded. I'm going to ask you, this next year, these messages, some of the messages are going to be foundational messages. But some are going to be introspective that really the only prerequisite or the qualifier that I ask you to do is that you just be honest with the Holy Spirit of God. That as we open up the scriptures and look into ourselves, we determine, are we really as rooted and grounded as we think? Years ago, we, about 3 years ago, maybe four, I have a hard time with time. Is it 3 or 4 years ago? What, you don't even know what I'm going to talk about. Our tree, when it fell over. 5 years ago. We have an enormous maple tree at our house. Mr. Seatman, how big around is that? Really big. It's really big. Unbeknownst to us, there was damage and decay in the root system. Didn't know. It was all underground. Do you see, there's things that could be going on in your life that all of a sudden, boom, your life comes crashing down. And it was all just hidden. Everything looked fine. Everything looked okay. But the roots were damaged. And it was that time, and it rained a bunch into March, and then the wind, we had that awful windstorm, and it brought down, I've never seen anything like it, I've never heard anything like it, a tree, not because we cut it down, but the wind blew a very well-established tree right over, ripped it right out of the ground. So I ask that you consider your own personal life, that ye being rooted and grounded. Because we can make it all look okay, but underneath our foundation, our roots have been attacked. And the result could be very detrimental. As I told you, roots can grow anywhere. After salvation, the need for growth in the Lord is of the highest importance. How often have we heard testimonies of people that said, yeah, I got saved, but I just didn't have a church to go to, and for the next number of years, I just floundered. I struggled. Why? Because there was no place for them to get rooted and grounded. Praise the Lord for Walker Bible Baptist Church. I was telling Pastor Seatman this past week, I said, because I was writing a letter and I was writing to Faith Baptist Church. If I said, how many of you know Faith Baptist Church? There's 100 Faith Baptist Churches. Grace Baptist Church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, First Bible Baptist Church. There's a ton of them. Walker Bible Baptist Church? There's one. And I am thankful for our church. You know what I want our church to be? I want it to be a place where people can get rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Rooted and grounded in one another. So when someone comes in and they visit maybe for the first time, we have a process by which we help attach the Word of God to their life if they want it. A place where people can grow. I get a chance to meet some pretty awesome people throughout the country and here and there at different conferences. And just a nice thing to get to know people is they'll ask me, so tell me your story. How long have you been going to your church? Oh, here, let me tell you. Back in 1998, I started coming to this church and went to Bible Institute. I was taught Bible Institute here for 4 years. Graduated from Bible Institute here. That summer in 2002, Pastor Kobachewski asked me to start working with the young adults. And we started working with the young adults and teaching Sunday school. And we did King's Club and got married here, had all my children here, was ordained. We didn't have our children here. We used the hospital facilities. But you understand. Raised our children here, was married. We had a tent. Big tent. You remember the tent, Brother Garrett? Say, what are you saying? My roots are here in a physical place, but I also have roots in my faith. I'm thankful for, where's Janet? Janet Haight. There she is. Mrs. Haight, how long have you been here? What year did you start coming here?
1970.
Whoa. I was -8. That's 50 years, Mrs. Haight. Yeah, you got it. She's got some roots here. But more so even than the place, how about in Christ? Roots can grow anywhere. I praise the Lord that God has given us an opportunity to take the Word of God and help it to develop. I'm thankful for the people like Phil Huber that just invested in me. Don't we want to do that for others? Don't we want to help people get rooted in Christ? Hey, people can grow anywhere. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful you chose to be here this morning. Look at verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. What? To be strengthened. Man, those roots produce strength. In our yard, we have, I don't even know if it's grass. It's green, but I don't know if it's grass. I don't know what that is out there. If Grandpa Hay got a hold of our yard, it'd be different. But in there are these things that grow. They're called weeds. And you can mow them for a while, but they keep coming back. Sometimes they get in the bushes. So I'll just go through every now and then. I put gloves on because we do have poison ivy out by the house. And I'll go over there and I'll go and grab this, just what looks like just nothing. It's just a little pipsqueak of a weed. And I'll go and I just grab it and I... Oh, that's how you're going to... So I get down, I get two hands, and I'm pulling and I'm pulling, and that thing snaps right at the ground. What's under there? I don't know, but those roots are like, you ain't taking us. Why? It produced strength. Strength. Hey, we need some Christians to get some roots. Why? Because the winds of life blow and you fall. This world is out of its mind. Why? Because they got no roots. I watch the news and I go, man, that's a mess. I'm so glad I'm saved. I read online articles and stuff. I don't even know if they have the newspaper anymore. Is there even a newspaper? Does anybody get a newspaper? You who gets one? You get one? All right, good, great. We used to have the Democrat and Chronicle, and in the afternoon, there was the Times Union. Remember that? There was so much news. We had a morning paper and an afternoon paper. Now nothing's going on. But you get online articles, and you read that stuff and go, oh, that's awful. I'm so glad I have hope. I'm so glad I know Christ. I'm so glad that this world is not my all. I'm so glad I'm rooted in Christ. It's what gives the Christian strength. He said it, to be strengthened with might. Romans chapter 13. Roots can grow anywhere. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. That was our theme for 2013, that banner right there. That's why I'm going to it, because we don't even have a banner this year. I got to use other year banners. Very good. You're going to want to come back Wednesday night to see our banner. Jay used the Mr. King thing. Man, if there was a service you'd want to be at this Wednesday night, you're going to want to be here. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hey, when's a good time to start growing? Right now. Don't wait. Well, I'll get settled in when I get a little bit older. I want to kind of... Oh, you know, Pastor, I want to sow my wild oats a little bit, but I'll dial it back when now is the time. I'll wait till I get a little more established. You talked about having a family. Once I have my own kids, that's when we'll come back to church. It'll be too late. I just want to finish. Don't wait. Don't wait to get rooted and grounded in Christ. You are in a perfect, listen now, remember our root system here. Root growth is essentially opportunistic in its timing. It takes place whenever and wherever the environment provides. Now let's take that to the Christian life. Man, I just wish there was a place that I could learn the Word of God and get away from worldly secular advice, and I wish I could get a new family and a new set of friends. You're in the perfect environment for that. The perfect opportunity. Say, are you saying this is the greatest church? This is the greatest church I know of. Not to compare. But I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful you're part of it. What better place to be? Well, you know, they got some stuff over there that I'd really like to try. Just stop it. If it's that important, do it right here, right now. If God so touched your heart about whatever that is, hey, we don't have a Spanish mission. We're going to be hearing about that tonight. Oh, if there was a service that you would come back tonight, we got a bunch of stuff we're going to be talking about tonight. Follow-up from last week. Budget meeting and stuff. Man, what a perfect environment to get rooted and grounded in Christ. Do it right here. Remember Paul? He gets saved in Acts chapter 9. Man, could you imagine the life of Paul and his testimony? He's locking up Christians, killing Christians, persecuting Christians. He says he caused such a trouble that he was known all throughout the land. And then all of a sudden he shows up at church. It would be like Governor Cuomo coming in here and saying, "And hey, I just want to be part of you guys." Out. You've caused more trouble than out. And Paul shows up. Ananias and Barnabas take him under their wing. You know what they did? They taught him some things. For a whole year, he just spends teaching and learning the Word of God. Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 13. Grew some roots. Remember that first little root? Radical. Now, when you look it up, there's a little breakdown in the illustration. When you spell radical like that, it's R-A-D-I-C-L-E, like bicycle. But still sounds the same. And sometimes your faith has to get a little radical. Going deep in your relationship with God would be seen as radical. Hey, what are you doing over there? You're always going to church. We're trying to get together. We're trying to do these family things. We're trying to do, and you can't do anything because you're always at church. Hey, I need church for strength. That's where God speaks to me. I need faith. And He speaks to me there. Yeah, it might be seen as radical. But allow your roots to grow in Christ. Number one, roots can grow anywhere. Number two, roots connect everything. Every area of your life is evident of your root in Christ. Let me say that again. Just like the connection of the furthest tip of the little feeder ones. It's amazing to watch these roots. They go and they grow horizontally. We think they grow deep, but they don't. They grow horizontally. They go down a number of feet. If they hit like a rock that they can't actually get through, they just shoot out. They split. And they go way out. And then off of that, there's these feeder ones. And then they start growing back up. Real thin. Real thin. And that little stuff is all the way connected to the very tip end of fruit on the end of the branches. Amazing to me that the food that it brings in on the soil way over here travels all the way down and goes up and all the way to the end. Hey, your relationship with Christ, everything, every part that you touch in your life will be evident of your root system. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Ephesians 4:16. You should be close. We're almost done. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Say, what is that? That's roots. That's things from all the way over here, traveling all the way to the end. It's all connected. Root and the love of Christ will be seen in your conversation. You don't have to tell anybody about your relationship with the Lord. It's seen by what you do. Your motives, your purpose, your worship, and exaltation of God is evident of your root system. Your habits, it's all evident. Number one, roots can grow anywhere. Number two, the roots connect everything. And as the roots travel out to the branches, we see the enormity of the root system that far exceeds the branch reach. Let me say that again. The root system far exceeds that of the branch reach. Meaning the branches reach out to here. The root system underneath goes way out here. Telling me the most important priority in your life is not the branch. The thing that's most important in the Christian life is not our reach to the world. No, it is our connection to Christ. It's actually something that most people will never see. As I was reading this book and this articles and things, it said this, that very few people, if any, have ever really seen the complete and total root system of any one tree, because it's that extensive. The things get so thin, there's no possible way you could pull it all out. Do you understand that our relationship with the Lord, you can't evaluate, you can't see that. You see evidence of it. Just like the tree, I go outside and I look at the tree and go, it must have a root system. Why? Because I see fruit. We love going to pick apples. But understand that under the ground of every apple tree is a system much greater than what we see. Hey, in your life, we spend so much time on the branches and the pedicuring of the fruit and not enough time on the root system. It is so much more important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look at some of these verses. Go to James chapter 4, and then we'll finish. This is it. We're just going to look at some verses, and then we're going to close our Bible. When you hear Colossians chapter 2, that is our last verse. James chapter 4, all right? So we're not there yet. We're almost there. James chapter 4. Listen, the Bills already won. We don't have to worry about getting home, watching a football game. We're good. We got time. James chapter 4 and verse 8, look at these verses. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. What is that? That's roots. That's your relationship with God. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Philippians 3:10. And the fellowship of His suffering. Hey, Paul, what's important? That you know Christ. That your root system is in Christ. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Just a few verses. Familiar verse. Look at this. Verse 27. And answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Hey, what's most important in your life? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. a commitment to God. But secondly, a commitment to others. The danger of selfish Christianity is, I would say, knocking at our doors, but it is sitting in our laps. How does this benefit me? What do I get out of this? Expect to see a return. I'm putting $5 in the offering. That's our approach. What do you got for my kids? Selfish Christianity. Where's your commitment to others? Where's the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the towards others? We need one another. By ourselves, we're shallow. I don't mean to say that demeaningly, but we are. We have shallow roots, but man, when we take our roots and we interlock it with somebody else's, that's called accountability. And I'll help you stand. Colossians chapter 2. Smiles across the room. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians 2, 7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. With one another, as ye have been taught, rooted and built up in Him. How important our relationship in Christ is. It is our root system. It will be our strength. But the soil in which it grows, rooted and grounded in love. The love of God, understanding that. That is the soil by which our roots grow. So I ask that you this. Commit to making the Lord the top priority in your life. Participate in church. Focus on the fundamentals. I know you hear it often, but prayer and Bible reading. Not yielding to temptation. Loving others. And be open and honest to the Holy Spirit as He leads and speaks to you. Because we don't want to just be covering up a problem that's in our life. Because if we're not rooted and grounded when the storms of life come, we will fall down. There's a tendency sometimes when things aren't right in our own life that we just come, we fulfill maybe an obligation of church and quick get out as quick as possible. Not interconnecting with one another. Why? Well, just kind of want to be left alone. You understand the danger of that too. I know it's hard right now, and I know it's our community and society is kind of really pushing that we stay away from one another, but you understand there's a connection between Christians under the unity and the power of the Word of God as we grow and help one another that far exceeds what the world is trying to pull us apart from. This last year has been strenuous on all relationships. But possibly the most detrimental has been a relationship in the Lord. Our roots have been attacked. So, let's get rooted and grounded in Christ. Let's all stand together.